This is Encounter on VOA. Here's Carol Castillo.
Welcome to Encounter on the Voice of America, U.S. democracy promotion efforts overseas. Hello again, I'm Carol Castiel. On this edition of the program, we talk with the presidents of two distinguished U.S. organizations which aim to support and strengthen democratic institutions, free and fair elections, and accountability in government throughout the world. Historically, America has been a symbol of freedom and democracy, a beacon of hope for many living under repressive, autocratic, or totalitarian governments. Ordinary people in the former communist nations of the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe, or authoritarian regimes of Latin America, have traditionally looked to the United States for inspiration. America is many things, but it is mostly an idea, a democracy, which enshrines the rule of law, human rights, and freedom of expression. However, Washington does not promote democracy for altruistic reasons only. Like-minded democracies share values and are far more likely to work harmoniously on common global challenges. As a result, successive U.S. administrations, both Democratic and Republican, have supported democracy-building efforts through the U.S. Department of State, as well as via other nonpartisan nonprofit organizations. Some analysts are a bit concerned that the Trump administration may be downplaying or de-emphasizing democracy promotion abroad. Critics worry that when President Donald Trump characterizes the press as, quote, the enemy of the people, or bashes longstanding allies while reserving praise for authoritarian regimes, he may be inadvertently damaging America's image overseas. And then there's this. The U.S. intelligence community unanimously concluded that Vladimir Putin's Russia, a foreign adversary, interfered to disrupt and influence the 2016 U.S. presidential election by hacking and then selectively leaking emails and by engaging in widespread social media fraud. Special Counsel Robert Mueller has already indicted several Russian individuals and entities on criminal charges. And yet, in his twisted mind, President Putin equates nonpartisan U.S. democracy promotion efforts, such as helping local non-governmental organizations monitor election fraud or build stronger civil societies, with his partisan disinformation campaigns and deliberate sabotage. Let's be clear, Russia's interference in the U.S. presidential election could not be more different from what the United States does to promote democracy in other countries. And we'll talk about that distinction and much more with our special guests. Daniel Twining, he's president of the International Republican Institute, and that's an organization that helps foster democratic and accountable societies around the globe. Prior to taking the helm at IRI, Daniel was a senior fellow at the German Marshall Fund for the United States. He's also a former advisor to the late Senator John McCain and Ambassador Derek Mitchell. He's president of the National Democratic Institute. Previously, Ambassador Mitchell was senior advisor at the U.S. Institute of Peace and the Center for Strategic and International Studies. He was appointed by former President Barack Obama as the U.S. ambassador to Burma, also known as Myanmar. Like IRI, NDI is a nonprofit, nonpartisan, non-governmental organization that has supported democratic institutions and practices in every region of the world. And both gentlemen join me here at the VOA Broadcast Center in Washington. Welcome to the program.
It's great to be here. Thank you
very much.
Well, Daniel Twining, let me begin with you. I'd like you both, actually, to first define your respective missions in your own words and your financing. So first to you, Daniel Twining, with IRI.
So we're out helping to build what Ronald Reagan called the infrastructure of democracy all over the world. He gave a historic speech in London in 1982 at the height of the end of the Cold War, when it was still quite tense. And he said, look, the way America is going to win in the world is not simply with our military power, with bombs and bullets. Actually, our most powerful asset are our ideals and our will to support them out in the world. My organization, IRI, is working in countries all over the world to advance democratic politics, democratic practice. So we're supporting free elections, strong institutions, accountable governance, responsive governance. And this has real implications for American interests. We all know how violent extremism incubates into terrorism in countries where economic and political freedom is lacking. We know that Russia and China, authoritarian great powers, are using subversive tools to undermine open societies in ways that undercut American friends and allies and strategic interests. We know that desperate people turn into refugees, fleeing gang violence, corruption, misrule in Central America and countries like Venezuela, as well as conflict zones like the Middle East. And so our work around supporting democracy and good governance is designed to encourage a better world that is safer for America and so that people can stay home and enjoy the same freedoms we have here.
Now it's your turn, Ambassador Mitchell, for the National Democratic Institute.
Well, first of all, thank you very much for having us. This is a really important topic and appreciate the opportunity to speak. IRI and NDI were established at the same time, the Reagan administration and that Westminster speech in London, along with the National Endowment for Democracy, all with the idea that, again, that America stands for something and that our ideals are not only what we were founded on, but are very important for our national security and our national interest. So what NDI has done over 35 years is establish contacts and networks around the world and offices around the world to support and defend democracy, to help people build the technical capacity, the nuts and bolts, the institutions, the processes, the mindsets that go into the foundation of democratic governments and democratic societies. And it's painstaking. It requires building relationships of trust and ensuring that we are indeed working with countries and not, as you suggested very wisely in your opening comment, not subverting, that we're interested in process, not outcome. We're interested in the success and stability of countries for our national security and the security of those countries and their regions. It's all connected. So that started during a Cold War day, but the same dynamics are relevant today for America and the world.
Turning back to you, Daniel Twining, to talk about how you go into various countries around the world. Are you invited? How do you propose to work? Who are your counterparts on the ground?
We're there by invitation. Fundamentally, the work we are doing is to empower small-d Democrats in all of these countries to achieve what they define as their objectives, to build a freer, more open society. In some countries, we will work with anti-corruption activists, where political elites are stealing money from the people in ways that distort and pervert politics. In some countries, we will work to empower women, where they are underrepresented, because we know that many good things flow from having women leaders. In many countries, we work to empower young people who are often underrepresented or not engaged at all in politics. So the work looks different everywhere. Fundamentally, we are concerned with building strong political parties. We don't think politics should be about personalities, should not be personality-driven. It should be issue-driven. It should be responsive to what citizens in that country want. And of course, it looks different in every country. But believe it or not, your listeners will appreciate, most people in most places want the same thing. They don't want to be ruled by strongmen or corrupt elites. They want to know that their children will have a better life. They want to know that police will not come in the night to take them away because of something they said or some peaceful meeting they attended. And they want a voice and a vote in who rules them, who governs their countries, and the chance to hold those leaders accountable. So that's the foundations of the kind of work that we are doing around the world.
Turning back to you, Derek, to either add or subtract to what Daniel said, and also for our listeners, if your work is in fact not partisan, just because you're affiliated with the Democratic Party and Daniel is affiliated with the Republican Party, why actually do we need two organizations doing similar work?
Yeah, and people ask that question. It's a reasonable question. I mean, I think it was patterned after the German Stiftungs in the old days with party institutes that support democracy overseas and have contacts with like-minded parties around the world. So we are part of internationals, in essence, as well as doing the democracy work. But I think it's a very important model and symbol to the world that this is something that transcends partisanship in the United States, that both Democrats and Republicans may disagree on many issues. But when it comes to process, when it comes to democracy, when it comes to the national interest, we each can work together on this issue. So when we go overseas together, NDI and IRI, it's very powerful to show that in a bipartisan coalition, that we are working together on this ideal that should transcend the other aspects of issue-based difference. I also think it's important politically at home because things get wrapped up in partisan politics too much, so that we can also work with our own parties to demonstrate why this is important beyond any political leadership in the United States or party leadership in the United States.
Turning back to you, Daniel Twining, former Senator John McCain, who left us, unfortunately, he died not too long ago due to brain cancer, was a champion of promoting democracy. He was the chairman for so many years at IRI. Talk about his prestige and his legacy.
So Senator McCain was chairman of IRI for 25 years. He understood that America and our American democracy cannot be safe in a world of dictatorships and autocracies, that the fate of free people is linked, that we can't enjoy freedom at home if people out in the world do not enjoy similar opportunities. So he was a military man, always had acute concern with what was in the best security interests of the United States. And he understood very much that hard power alone does not protect America. It's not just our fighter jets and our Navy, our Air Force, our Marines, etc. What protects America is living in a world that is fundamentally more free and just than in a world where people are repressed. I know we're going to talk about Russia, but you know, Russia is a useful example. It is difficult to separate the strongman control and political persecution of Russians at home in Russia. It's hard to separate that from Russia's empire building exercises abroad, which threaten American allies, and Russia's disinformation and other forms of assault on the United States. And so that's an example of where our interests and our values coincide, which is to have a freer Russia that would be a better partner rather than a competitor.
Turning to you, Derek Mitchell, to talk about your current chairman, former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright. What value and prestige do you think she brings to the National Democratic Institute?
Well, this is a labor of love for her. I mean, she is passionate about this project. She was one of the founders, the founding vice chairs back in the 80s on this. But she says, if I can't be Secretary of State, I want to be chair of NDI. So she is indefatigable. She's 81 years old. She travels all around the world. She's written a book recently on fascism, A Warning, talking about the history of how countries can little by little have their democracy, have their rights and freedoms taken away from them. And she's a great leader still and a great symbol. She herself is a refugee. She herself has a life experience that informs what happens when freedom is taken away, and not only for inside a country, but for the world.
We'll have more in just a moment, but first, you're listening to Encounter on the Voice of America. My guests are Daniel Twining. He's president of the International Republican Institute, and Ambassador Derek Mitchell. He's president of the National Democratic Institute, and we are examining U.S. democracy promotion efforts overseas, how they contrast with propaganda and disinformation by non-democratic states such as China and Russia. And this is a reminder that our Encounter podcast is available for free download on iTunes on our website at voanews.com/encounter. You may also follow me on Twitter at Carol Castiel VOA or connect with us on Facebook. Here's a big shout out to Morand Fachot. He's a loyal listener of VOA based in Switzerland. And if you want to hear your name on the air, please send an email to encounter@voanews.com or like us and leave a comment on our Facebook page. Well, back to you, Daniel Twining, to talk about this spurious comparison between what Russia does overseas and what the United States does. The United States is not perfect by any means, but to conflate U.S. democracy efforts with the kind of blatant electoral interference and sabotage undertaken by Moscow, I think one would conclude is really absurd. Talk about what we do in contrast to what the Russians and the Chinese are doing overseas.
So Derek said it really well. We're not interested in outcomes. We're interested in a free process. We're interested in a level playing field where people out in the world can make free and independent choices about who should govern them and how their country should be ruled. We are interested in leveling the playing field so that all political actors can compete, all voices in a country can be heard, and their voices can be reflected in accountable democratic governance. What Russia, the Kremlin, we should distinguish. What the Kremlin, which does not allow freedom of choice, does not allow free elections in Russia, so it's a strongman system. But what the Kremlin is trying to do is the opposite. Rather than trying to level the playing field with their propaganda and disinformation activities, they are trying to tilt it. Rather than help societies unite around shared principles, they are trying to polarize and divide societies through fake news, by supporting extremist voices in many countries. And we should be clear, your listeners really must understand, this is not about the 2016 U.S. presidential election. Russian intelligence and other agents are literally active in the information space in dozens of countries. Russia, the Kremlin, was meddling in the recent Mexican elections, in the recent Colombian elections. They have assaulted democratic societies across Europe. Russia fundamentally is a weak country that has decided it can use state power to foment discord in an effort to weaken the West, to undercut America and our democratic allies.
Absolutely. Very well said. The Kremlin has been involved, meddling around the world, particularly in Eastern Europe and Latin America and so forth. So to you, Derek Mitchell, to again set the record straight, the United States is a democracy with all its flaws, separation of powers, the rule of law, a free press to hold the powerful to account. Vladimir Putin's Russia, the Kremlin, is an authoritarian regime. It rigs its own elections. Yes, it has elections, but they're elections in name only. Yep. And there is no free press. So your take on this distinction and this contrast?
Well, the fact that Dan and I are on this show is a difference. We are public. What we do, we talk about. You can go to our websites. You will meet us in the countries. We will explain what we do, why we do it. And we seek the approval of the people of the country. It is transparent. It is open, as opposed to Russia's obvious shadowy subversion to try to create confusion, to try to divide, to try to undermine democracy. They want to confuse. They want to, as you say, extend a moral equivalence here that doesn't exist and twist the real democracy into what they want, which is a very false sense of democracy. I think the other thing we do, just to give a sense of how we do our work, we're not exporting an American model. It's not about us saying, we're America, we're perfect, do it like we do. We're about sharing experiences. There are different types of democracies around the world. People are heroes all over the world who have fought for freedom, fought for democracies, who have their own experiences with different levels of development. What we do openly is try to provide an opportunity for people to share those experiences with others, to create a network of common purpose. And that itself helps create peace and creates bonds between people. So all of this is fundamentally different than what Russia is doing. And I'm just with you. I really bristle anyone who equates the two.
So Daniel Twining, another authoritarian regime which is trying to thwart our work overseas and influence governments is China, and we see their footprint in particular in Africa, where we have a number of listeners. Talk about the threat from China in this space.
So everything Chinese is not a threat. China is building infrastructure that is useful and valuable in Africa and elsewhere. However, I think people also need to understand the nature of the Chinese system. Chinese businesses have Communist Party cells embedded in their leadership structures. Chinese businesses are backed by Chinese state banks. They go into countries, they undercut the competition because they essentially enjoy free money thanks to the Chinese state or state-owned banks and enterprises. They often will build infrastructure in ways that governments don't need to pay for then. But they take out big loans. African countries, Asian countries, Latin American countries take out big loans over time that they find it very difficult to repay. China then enjoys a degree of economic leverage that it transforms into political influence.
So turning to you, Derek Mitchell, to advance the conversation, what we're seeing here in the world is really the rise of illiberal democracies, even the rise of far-right parties, nationalist, populist movements. To what extent does that hamper your work? Does it make it more difficult, challenging to help democracies because they're being swayed perhaps by these other trends?
No, that's exactly right. And again, they use the trappings of democracy to undermine some of the foundations and the institutions of democracy. So they can have electoral democracy, a free election, it seems, on the surface. But they're sort of rigging the rules of it. They're clamping down on the media. The tension between political parties is unequal. Electoral commissions are not balanced and treat everybody the same way. So there are ways that countries or leaders get into power and then start to chip away at the freedoms that underlie democracies. And that's a challenge for us, added to the Russia and China challenge, where they are supporting some of these leaders. And in that way, we are probably the first time in 30 years since the Cold War, we have an ideational challenge. There's now headwinds against democracy. China in particular is trying to make the case that democracy isn't good for countries, that in fact authoritarian strongmen can make decisions. Democracies are messy. They're inefficient. Look at us. We become powerful. So be like us. So that in some ways is an ideational challenge that tends to support autocratic leaders. But most people in these countries, they want a free voice. They understand the difference. But we have to think very creatively and innovatively using new technologies, which are also being used by Russia and China, in order to fight back against this trend towards illiberalism.
And Daniel Twining, how do you see the obstacles for the IRI and for your democracy promotion efforts?
So there are a couple. I mean, one is that open societies, free societies, are always going to be vulnerable to forms of foreign influence of the kind we've seen from Russian disinformation, for example. We're always going to be vulnerable. We cannot close our societies. We need to raise awareness of the danger of non-traditional threats like Russian disinformation. That's one. Two, there are a lot of young people who have grown up in successful democracies, maybe who didn't live through the Cold War, who weren't behind the Iron Curtain, who don't appreciate that democracy is something you have to stand up for and fight for every day. It's not the natural condition of humankind. When the founding fathers established the United States in 1776, America was the only democratic republic in the world, and they were not sure that this little democratic experiment would succeed. You now have more than 100 democracies today, but there are pressures to them from without, from hostile powers, and there are pressures from within, including the fact that a lot of voters, including in the United States, including in Europe, are fed up with politics as usual, with political elites who seem out of touch. You have a calling into question of the democratic system because politicians maybe have not been as responsive to citizen concerns as they should have been. This is as true in America as it is in a fragile new democracy. And so Democrats, small d Democrats in all these countries, need to constantly renew their connection with the people and listen to what people want and try to deliver that in government.
To you again, Daniel. Do you think the Trump administration views democracy promotion a bit differently than previous administrations? Do you feel support? Has funding been affected? How would you evaluate this administration's approach vis-a-vis previous ones?
So, you know, America does not have a one-man system. NDI and IRI have been in business for 35 years, thanks to strong support from the American people. There's recent polling just last few months by Freedom House, the Bush Center, Penn Biden Center, showing that more than 7 in 10 Americans believe we should support democracy in the world, that that is actually good for the United States and that that actually helps our security. So strong support from the American people and also very strong support from the Congress that represents them. It's Congress who writes the budgets. It's Congress that understands that these very modest investments are a form of investments in security and prosperity for the United States. So we have independent institutions in America. We have checks and balances. We have a free media. And those are all things we can go out and say to the world in the current political climate in the United States. It's good we have those.
Indeed. So, Derek Mitchell, do you at the National Democratic Institute feel any constraints, financial or otherwise, under the Trump administration, or is your funding good? And by the way, talk about where the funding comes from for the NDI and IRI.
Well, 80% comes from the U.S. government. We get funding from the National Endowment for Democracy. We get project funding from USAID. We also have some funding from overseas governments, from the U.K., Swedes, for project by project, and then some of our own. So we do rely on public funding, and we do rely on the Congress and this administration to keep that going. It is a challenge because there are some in the administration who simply want to cut funding for development writ large, and they're not certain that democracy funding is efficient and effective. And so we have to fight every day to prove the value. But I think we have some very strong supporters in Congress, but we also have some very strong supporters in the administration. The Defense Secretary, James Mattis, others, he recognizes, as he said publicly, if we don't have funding for development, I need more weapons, and more, you know,
exactly.
More bullets. So I think there's a consensus, as Dan says, but always we have to prove ourselves and make our case.
Last word, favorite success story overseas?
Well, let me say, democracy is never done. I mean, there are success stories that then there's some regression and there's progress and all, it goes back and forth because human beings have expectations, they want change. So we can have a success story in Georgia for a period of time and still be concerned that there may be regression, that over time people forget that you have to work on this every day. And some of the mindsets of democracy have to take hold. So we see in Armenia and in Georgia, Ukraine, we're fighting with people on the ground to help them withstand pressures on their democracy from Russia. Throughout Africa, we've seen successes. But this is a long game. This is something that is never done. And it's based on showing support. And what we do is not only do technical support, but we show moral support. And we'll share what we can over the long run for our mutual success.
Well, on that cautiously optimistic note, I'm afraid that's all the time we have on this edition of Encounter. I'd like to thank my guests, Daniel Twining, president of the International Republican Institute, and Ambassador Derek Mitchell, president of the National Democratic Institute. Gentlemen, thanks so much for coming in, sharing your wonderful insights.
Thanks, Carol.
Thank you, Carol.
Encounter was produced in Washington. Our engineer was Justin Thwaites, and I'm Carol Castiel. Join me again next week for another Encounter on the Voice of America.